Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Yo, Winning Shot family, listen, I told y'all we was gonna be back. I told y'all all three of us gonna be back with this mic eventually. And finally, it's happening. Oh my goodness, I ain't seen these boys in a month of Sundays. I ain't lying. So brothers, I got Hundo, I got Colin with me. Man, first of all, how y'all brothers been? I feel like I ain't seen y'all in forever. Tell the people how y'all been, you know, give them a little update on your life. And then we'll get into the podcast after that. But let's get an update on y'all first. This has been a minute since all three of us been on the mic. So talk to me.
I'm doing good, man. I can't complain, man. You know, just working, staying out the way, same old, same old. Ain't too much going on, man. Freelancing and all that stuff. So, you know, everything's good, though. Everything's good. Can't complain.
Yeah, everything's good with me. A lot of transitions in life. So I've been busy moving. That's been taking up all my time at work. But other than that, man, everything's good. Blessed.
Yes, sir. That's all I like to hear, fellas. That's all I like to hear. Well, listen, speaking of moving, this college football season and NFL season is also moving. We are in week 2 of the NFL season already and week 3 of the college season already. So let's jump right into these matchups because we got a lot of intriguing things to talk about. We'll start college first. I want to end off with the NFL because I know y'all boys' teams are playing this week. So I got to get the prediction and that discussion out the way, that good old debate. Now, once again, if you listen to the last podcast, listeners, I gave what I thought was going to happen, but I would love to hear, maybe this can change my mind today on what I thought is going to happen in this upcoming game. Before we get into all of that, we got to start with the college game because the college, honestly, this year has been a little bit more intriguing than I thought it was going to be. We came into the season with a plethora of guys, more specifically quarterbacks and teams who we thought were going to be good, right? We looked at Florida. We looked at Clemson. We looked at who else? We looked at South Carolina, who's been performing well, right? We looked at these guys who had these, oh, Texas too. I add Texas in there. These teams and these quarterbacks and these guys who we're like, okay, they next up, right? This is it. We got Cade Klubnik. We got Arch Manning. We got DJ Lagway. We got Lenora Sellers. We got all of these guys. We got all of these teams who we're expecting to do these great things. Now, some of these things have performed, right? We can look at South Carolina.
Carson Beck at Miami.
Yeah, we can look at Carson Beck in Miami, who I thought was absolutely abysmal in Georgia last year. And now he's going to Miami, and Miami's on a winning streak. So it's like we have these guys and these names, and it's like, okay, cool. Some of these guys are performing, and some of these guys are wetting the bed. DJ Lagway, Cade Klubnik. You know, some of these guys are wetting the bed. I guess we could throw his name in there, but I didn't expect nothing from him at UCLA. But no, we got to add the name in there because he made up such a crazy fuss about getting all this money at Tennessee. And we'll get into that here in a moment. Fellas, welcome back to the We're Back series. Another episode. This is going to be the NFL and college football episode as we get into all the nitty and the gritty of this week here. So let's start. Let's get right into it. I know college game day is on right now. It is almost 12. So I know some big matchups. And God, dog, of course my app freezes when I need it to lock in and give me a big matchup for today. So I know one big matchup for that I want to discuss is the USF and Miami game. Now, USF has been looking pretty crazy this year. They started off the season and beat Boise State. Now, Hundo, we talked about this early on in that podcast. I said, listen, I wouldn't be surprised if USF beats Boise because Boise was really heavy in Genty last year. And outside of Genty, they had no team. I was proven right. Now we're gonna put the clip up somewhere, and I'm gonna show y'all. I was proven right because I told you that was gonna happen. Then the next week, they played Florida this past week. Now I'm not gonna lie, I was like, oh yeah, the run of luck is over, right? They're gonna face a tough Florida team going into Florida, if I'm not mistaken, and go ahead and, you know, take that L. Boy, was I wrong. Oh my goodness. They went in there and beat Florida and DJ Lagway. I mean, this team is just, I ain't gonna lie, they're doing some crazy things I did not expect them to do. So now today they face a Miami team. They're ranked. So USF is 18 in the country, and they're going into Miami, who's 5 in the country. Let's start there. Do y'all think that South Florida has an opportunity to go into Miami, another Florida school, and beat them?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. I think Miami gonna beat them today. They on a good run, good job. But I think Carson Beck and Miami get it done.
Okay. Shoot, I'm gonna go the other way. I already put my money down on USF. I think the magic's still gonna continue. I think it's gonna be closer though, because I think Florida had a look ahead game and USF is actually pretty decent. I like Byron Brown. I don't think he's like elite, but he's a mobile quarterback who can get stuff done. And I think USF just wants to keep it close. If they can keep it close and have the ball at the last drive, I think that they can make magic happen. Just about the discipline. I think Miami last year, there was a lot of look ahead games and games where they didn't come to perform and play down to the competition. And honestly, Mario, I think that happens today. And if Miami wins, I think it's going to be close. I don't think they're going to cover.
Yeah, I can see that. It's a 17 and a half point spread right now on Miami. I definitely don't think they cover that. I just think that South Florida, man, they've been counted out every game this season. Honestly, if you literally against Boise State, they were counted out, and I just thought that was absolutely preposterous. But they've been counted out every game this season. So while I do think that Miami will come out and eventually win this game, I do think it'll be a lot closer than people will give it credit for. Just because it's something like Colin said, man, I mean, that man, Mr. Brown, he been hooping. I ain't going to hold you. Like, the young man, he's mobile. He can get after it. Like, and he's not afraid of contact. He really has. I saw him, like, truck a couple guys in a couple different games. And I'm like, oof. Oh, my goodness. That's a big boy down there. Like, people think he's sweet, but it's not. But also, I mean, Carson Beck, to his credit, also has been, you know, hooping this year to start off the season. Now, do I have the ultimate faith in Carson Beck? No. That's my short answer. But, you know, today against South Florida, I think that he can get the job done, man. I think he's already, you know, 42 for 55 on the season with 4 touchdowns. They've been pretty consistent when it comes to passing the ball as well as running the ball and then having a very effective defense as well. So I think that it'll be a defensive matchup because I think South Florida also has a good defense that's been keeping them in the game outside of their offense and Mr. Brown at quarterback. So I do think that it'll be a good overall matchup in terms of the game itself.
Yeah, I think for Miami too, like when you see a team like USF upset, you know, 2 teams back-to-back, that's inspiring, that's motivating. I don't think they're going to play down to USF's level or, you know, down to their competition because they've seen, yo, if you let this team hang around, this is what happens. And we saw Florida struggle a little bit offensively last week against them. Lagway through the...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Interception as well. But when you see that, you know, close game, 18-16, wasn't really a high-scoring game. Like y'all said, I don't think that Miami will cover the spread, but I do think that they'll get the win.
Yeah. Agreed, brother. Agreed. I think we're in for a great matchup there at 4:30 down in Miami. Another big matchup I want to get to as well, and speaking of Florida teams, we got LSU versus Florida. Now, that game will take place in LSU. And as we just discussed, South Florida had just put a beat down, not really a smack down, but they beat Florida last week. So Florida comes into Louisiana, comes into the Death Valley down there, and they're able to see, can they put back can they come back, right? Or is this going to be a 1-2 start for them on the season? So give me y'all thoughts as we push into that particular matchup, because LSU is the number three team in the country right now. They've already beat Clemson. Last week they had another game. Excuse me, I'm sorry. Last week they had another game against Louisiana Tech. I mean, that wasn't too much of a challenge for them. So now they get another challenge right in Florida in their first taste of SEC football of the season. So do y'all think that Florida can come into LSU and which this would be considered an upset? Upset LSU, or do y'all think that LSU continues on their winning streak against Florida?
I think LSU gonna continue to win. This has historically been, you know, a good game, a challenging game. It should still be a good game. Yeah. But especially seeing Lagway struggle a little bit last week, it's cause for concern. You're going into Death Valley, as they call it, in LSU. That's gonna be tough. Night game. Mm-hmm. I think Nussmeier gonna be ready to play, man, and I think LSU gets it done.
Yeah, I agree, Hondo. I think this is gonna be like a telling game for Billy Napier, because if they go out and get smoked, I don't think he lasts till Thanksgiving. And honestly, like, a lot of it's on DJ Lagway, but some of that too is on Florida's offensive line. And I think with Harold Perkins and LSU's pass rush, I just don't think that they're gonna go into Baton Rouge and win this game. So I think it's either gonna be they lose, but if they get stomped, then I don't think Billy Napier lasts much longer, because I don't see another win on their schedule.
You don't see another win on Florida's schedule?
I mean, maybe Mississippi State and Ole Miss, but go look at their schedule. Their schedule is...
I'm pulling it up right now. I mean, that's real. If they don't win today against LSU, next week they got Miami. Then they play Texas at the crib. Then they play Texas A&M. Then they play Mississippi State. Dang. And they got Georgia. I think they can get away. I think they can beat Kentucky in November. Oh my gosh, I hope so.
But does he make it?
Oh, they got quarterback too, so they could win that game.
Yeah, that's also true. But you, like you said, Colin, to your point, they start losing on a crazy losing streak. Yeah, somebody got to get fired immediately. Yeah, or they're gonna make a change somewhere. They're gonna make a change somewhere.
Does Lagway get benched?
For who?
I don't know. I don't know. But if they losing, bro, ain't no need to keep him in there.
I'd imagine he's top earner in NIL, so you're benching a pretty expensive quarterback.
Nah, hey, fact.
Hey, you got to do what you got to do if you ain't winning. If you ain't producing.
But if he's not the reason, ain't gonna matter. He's not playing bad. It's not him, per se.
He played bad last week. Can't turn the ball over.
That's true. He only had one turnover, though.
Hey, then they lost the game by two. You don't turn the ball over, you probably win that game.
So, okay, between Lagway, like Colin mentioned, in that money, and the coach, which one would you get rid of first? Would you bench Lagway first or get rid of the coach first?
Coach. I mean, he's in year four.
I think Lagway might get benched before the coach get fired. Now, like Colin said, if they getting smacked, yeah, he got to go. But if they losing, like, close games, that's gonna be hard.
Yeah. I agree. That's what I'm saying. Like, in my personal opinion, it's like, I can't bench Lagway, but especially if he's playing decent. Like, if we just losing off of whatever other reason outside of Lagway, I mean,
but we can't be getting 3 points every drive. And that was the problem. We got that was the problem last week. They couldn't get into the end zone. You can't be selling for three every possession and expect to win the game. You got to be able to punch it in and get touchdowns.
But okay, is that level? Is that more so on Lagway, or is that on the offensive line?
I mean, he's the quarterback at the end of the day, bro. We've seen a number of quarterbacks with bad offensive line get it done and score touchdowns and still be able to score touchdowns.
In college? We're not talking about NFL now. We're talking about college with bad O-lines and still getting it done?
They can still score points. Get it out quick. If you know you got a bad offensive line, get it out quick.
I think tonight just determines whether – Napier makes it to the end of the season to get fired, or whether he gets fired in season.
Yeah.
If they don't get Harris, I don't think he makes it.
I agree. And that LSU defense is tough. I ain't even gonna hold you. I watched the boys play against Clemson, and they got like a 6'4 corner out there, and he's a dog. So, I mean, and that's just an addition to the rest of that team. I mean, so it's gonna be very interesting to see how this game plays out. I still got LSU winning this game at the crib. It's just gonna be too crazy at a night game. Yeah, nah.
A real quick question, like, what do y'all think is wrong, like, with Florida football? Like, ever since Urban, they haven't been able to get right. What's the fix? Because I feel like they're just going through this constant cycle with coaching.
I don't know if I can point to one specific thing, brother. I feel like last year, when it came to Florida, I mean, I know Lagway was a freshman, and they were kind of just trying to figure out the quarterback position overall. And I think that was a big piece of it. It's like, you don't have a consistent quarterback, it's hard to like establish any kind of rhythm on the offense. And then defensively, I feel like they had some miscues as well. And also, once again, they're still in the SEC. And I think every week that you're in that conference, you have to bring it. You know what I'm saying? Because you know Georgia's there, LSU is here, Alabama in their heyday was there. So it's like, when you got those juggernauts every week, like, you can't have an off day ever. You know what I'm saying? Or it's GG's. You know what I'm saying? Like, you lose two games conference, you playing in the New Mexico Bowl already. So it's like, I mean, I don't know. It's hard to find motivation that they already lost some two games. So I think this year they kind of tried to come in with an established starter in Lagway. And then, you know, I feel like they have a lot of pieces around him to be good. But I don't know. I have to really watch them. Maybe I'll try to watch some of that game tonight to see, like, whatever I can pinpoint some issues may be. I know that may be hard against an LSU team who's, once again, dogs and at the crib. So I'm going to tap in tonight and see what kind of, you know, things that they could do better. Because I think coming into the season, I had decent hopes for them. You know what I'm saying? Even in the SEC, I was like, they got a step of starting in Lagway now. So I think he'll be able to get the job done. And I'll be honest, NCAA, boy, Lagway is about unstoppable in that doggone game. And so it gives a persona and perception that, you know, they don't make those ratings and stuff off of, they think it's what they think coming into the season, right? And so coming to the season, it's like, yeah, you're supposed to be him. And so it's like he hasn't been able to, unfortunately, prove that moment, right?
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner. So you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Because I think coming to the season, I think I know I had him as one of the top five quarterbacks coming into the country. Just based upon, you know, what I thought he could do. His body work could be. I'm thinking him a little Norcella is a lot closer coming into the season than they are right now, right? And so, yeah, I'm going to leave it there.
Yeah, I think with NIL and transfer portal and recruiting, I think he starts there. Got to be able to get some of the top guys, especially like y'all were saying, with them being in the SEC. Like, you got to be able to go out and recruit these top guys and bring them in to surround, you know, Lagway with the talent. I know they got a couple of receivers in this last class, but you're going to need more than that. And then from a culture standpoint, like, even when you look back at somebody like a Desmond Watson last year, 400-something pounds, like, yo, get him in shape. Like, what are we doing from a strength and conditioning standpoint of, like, making sure our guys are prepared come game day? Because, bro, we can't have you out here doggone 450 pounds, bro, trying to play football, bro. Like, but come on.
I feel like that's
not on there, bro. Like,
yeah, yes, it is, bro. It starts there, bro. Don't bring him in.
Yes.
I wasn't able to get him right either.
Hey, it's all for true.
Hey, that's after the fact. We talking about Florida right now, brother.
Okay, but okay. Let's talk about that quickly though, Hundo. I mean, like, yes, I agree with you. I think, yeah, hey. 6 quarter pounders versus, you know, one steak should be okay for you. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think we can make some changes in the strength and conditioning. You know, if it comes to class. And but this is the thing, Hundo. I think he was in game shape enough to play. I mean, when he did play, he was making some plays. There was a reason, like.
So why Tampa Bay cut him?
If he because wasn't in NFL shape, Hundo. NFL shape and college shape is two different things, and you know that to be very true. There's a lot of huge guys in college that just don't necessarily – it just don't work out that way. There's a lot of big guys in college like that.
Side note. What happened to Buddy at TCU?
They have a big dude. I don't know. No, I don't remember his name, to be honest with you. I really don't. I really don't remember his name. The last dude I remember is Watson.
I think this year is going to be big for just the Florida program as a whole, because – if they go in and lose to every team in Florida, like Miami, Florida State, and even they've now lost to USF, I feel like recruiting, that just kind of dampens their ability to have any momentum going to the offseason. And I mean, a couple of years ago, like, I guess 2008, 2009, like, Florida was the place to be. They had, you know, five stars just walking around campus. And now it just seems like you're fighting for not even just the Florida schools, but you're going to be fighting against Alabama, Georgia, South Carolina, Clemson, as well. It's like, dang.
I think that that's just a testament, though, to NIL, honestly, bro.
Yeah.
I think NIL has just come in and just changed the landscape of college football as a whole. Because, I mean, yeah, I'm still Florida, right? And Florida, still a great school, still a great – in a great state, in a great spot, in the SEC. You're still able to draw that talent. But if I'm Texas A&M or if I'm, shoot, I don't know, Nebraska, and I can offer you $10 million more, them kids gone. Like, kids don't look at necessarily the school anymore. They're looking at dollar signs, right? Like, nobody's worried about the education piece. Nobody's worried about, like, the team pedigree, none of that. Like, they're not really honestly pressed about making it to the league no more. It's a far dream, but if I can get $10 million as a freshman, I'm not really worried about the league in 4 years. Let me and with the fact that I can transfer after this year, if I don't like the school that much, what's holding me? You know what I'm saying? So, like, it's really hard, I think, to sell. I think scouting and those kind of guys have the hardest jobs now because it's like, what do I sell outside of money? Like, what can I sell you?
And I think to your point, John, like, even the recruits today, they probably don't even remember the glory days at Florida when Urban was there and Percy and all them boys and Tebow. So, yeah, I agree.
Yeah. I'll also add, though, too, like, to y'all point, when it comes to, like, recruiting, like, I think the coach stability matters, too. Like, if you don't know if the coach going to be there next year or throughout the season, why would I want to come play for you? So I think it starts, you know, up top leadership. They gotta have some type of stability, like y'all talked about. Like, if they're getting smacked throughout the season, the coach might not make it to the end of the season. That impacts recruiting.
Yeah.
So they got some questions to answer throughout the season and even after the season, depending on how the season goes, because it's going, if they decide to move on from the coach, that's going to hurt some things.
And that's a good segue, because I want to talk about some coaches that might need to be fired. Let's talk about the University of Alabama, right? I think there's been a lot of controversy over the University of Alabama since the beginning of the season started, when they started off 0-1 and losing to Florida State, right? Now, they did wind up winning their game last week.
They ain't played nobody.
Yeah, though. But it was UL Monroe, right? So now, today, they face a 2-0 Wisconsin team at home. At home, however, has Alabama lost the art of being Alabama? I think there's been a lot of, like I said, discussion about it. You know, obviously Nick Saban's not there anymore, so they have Mr. DeVoe. Ryan Williams last year was a dog, and this year he seems to have turned into a teddy bear. I mean, it seems as if, no pun intended. No, I'm serious. It just seems as if Alabama has just kind of lost, like, their fear factor. And I think, yes, NIL may have played a part into it. But still, even when NIL first started, Alabama was still like, it's still Alabama. Now people are looking like Alabama, like, it's sweet. So, like, tell me what y'all think is going wrong in Alabama. And, like, can they fix it and bring back that reverence and fear of Alabama? I'm looking at these stats right now. Ryan Williams is not even the leading receiver at Alabama right now. And we're three games in almost. He's not even the leading receiver at Alabama. I don't know if he missed some time because of injury or what, but he hasn't scored a touchdown this year. He only has five catches for 30 yards. And last year, like I said, he was on the cover of NCAA, right? Because he had a crazy season last year. And this year, Jeremiah Smith is still Jeremiah Smith. But Ryan Williams is at a loss. And, like, is he at a point to transfer? Like, give me your thoughts. What's going on in Alabama?
Yeah, last week he had a concussion. So at the end of the Florida State game, he had a concussion. So he didn't play in the Louisiana Monroe game. But, I mean, so from what I watched, that number five, Jeremy Bernard, he seems to be developing as their wide receiver one. I feel like it's a lot of culture changes in our minds. We got to get out of the Nick Saban era. Nick Saban, his era was defined on defense, running, and physicality. But even at Washington with DeBoer, it wasn't really defined on physicality. It was really like an open offense, air raid kind of style with, you know, Michael Penix, obviously. And I think that just doesn't fly with Alabama fans because they're expecting everybody to be running around, but they just don't have those same kind of players as Nick Saban once had. A lot of that goes to NIL, but I think a majority of it goes to the culture, right? Because you see like Dan Lanning up in Oregon, you know, those boys aren't in the South, but they're still physical. They play like an SEC team. And so I just never thought that was DeBoer's like personality. And even like when I'm watching the games, like those boys get false starts and make mistakes and he won't even get in their face like Nick Saban. And I just don't think that's his personality. But I think the good thing is the Florida State game wasn't a conference game, so they can still easily run the table in the SEC and, you know, potentially get into the, you know, playoffs. And even if they lose one or two games, they can probably still compete for an SEC championship depending on what the rest of the SEC does. But it's really going to come down to 3 weeks from now with this Georgia game. You know, everybody's going to be seeing, you know, how he looks. If they go into Georgia and get stomped, kind of like Billy Napier, then people are going to be out on the board. But if they compete, people believe that they still have a chance because they look good versus, even though it was Louisiana and Monroe, it seemed like offense got better when Ryan Williams was out because they didn't have to focus in on him and they could spread the ball out a little bit more. Obviously, they play in a couple minutes with Wisconsin. So we'll see what they look like there. But, I mean, you just got to give it time because the other problem is he has a $70 million buyout. And so that $70 million you got to pay for the head coach, and then you got to buy out all of the other assistant coaches. And that's less money that you can spend on NIL in the further seasons. And who else you going to get? So I just don't think it's an easy fix. So I would just stay pat with who you got now.
Yeah, that's real.
Yeah, I think to answer your question, John, I think the fear factor definitely is like gone. I don't think teams really, you know, fear playing Alabama. Like y'all talked about in the Nick Saban era, they were loaded with five stars. They were out recruiting everybody. And now it's like they're competing for some of the best. Like they aren't necessarily having, you know, the number one class year in and year out of recruits and transfers. But I also think that that could be a good thing because like we see a number of teams and coaches that come over and, you know, take over new programs. They have to get their type of guys in. Colin talked about, you know, the style of play that he had at Washington. Maybe he's trying to bring that to Alabama. He doesn't necessarily have the right guys to play that way yet, right? So we'll see. Give it some time. Be patient. I think they're fine. Like Colin said, that loss to Florida State was out of conference. But also we're seeing that Florida State might actually be a good team. So is that really a bad loss? I don't know. We'll see. But I think Alabama's in good shape. Like Colin said, if they lose, you know, one or two games, they do have a pretty tough SEC schedule with Georgia. Vanderbilt's going to be tough. Mm-hmm. Got Missouri, Tennessee, South Carolina, LSU, all on the schedule. Oklahoma, all on the schedule. So we're going to see, man. We're going to see. But I definitely think, to answer your question, that fear factor is gone.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't surprise me if they get it back in the next couple of years, if they stick by head coach.
Okay. I'm going to touch on two more matchups, and I'm going to play a little game with y'all in regards to some of the other teams we got. So next game I want to touch on is this Georgia-Tennessee game. Hundo, I know you're a big UGA guy. So going into Tennessee today, going into Knoxville, I know it's crazy out there. I've been out to Knoxville a couple of times and seen how them fans act. And so coming in, I know they're going to be crazy with the top 10 teams in Georgia coming into Knoxville today. First of all, can I get the job done? Secondly, how much of a challenge do you think that Tennessee will pose to y'all being a 15 in the country? Once again, they've lost Nico, but they're still 2-0, right? This transfer quarterback who came in, I believe from UCLA, I believe is the starting quarterback now in Algier. And so, you know, he has thrown five touchdowns already on the season, 535 yards. Stockton, your quarterback, has, you know, 417, two touchdowns. You know, they seem to be a well-oiled machine out in Tennessee right now. But Georgia also seems to still be Georgia with the addition of Zachariah Branch coming in from – that was USC, if I'm not mistaken. So, you know, give me your thoughts, and then, Colin, I want to hear what you got to say about this Georgia and Tennessee game today.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the game. It should be a good one, like you said. But I think – it's not necessarily going to fall on Gunnar Stockton too much. I think it's going to be on our running game. I was talking with my brother about it earlier. I'm like, yo, we got 2-3 running backs that can go in addition to Gunnar Stockton being able to use his feet as well. So I think if we're able to run the ball, pound the ball on the ground, we're gonna be fine. I think our defense is going to be able to cause some havoc against Tennessee. So we're going to see, man. I don't think they really played too much of comp. They played Syracuse and they played ETSU. So, I mean, of course you're going to look good against them schools. I would hope so. Hey, this is SEC play right here. And, hey, Georgia come into play. I know Kirby going to have the guys ready.
Say this.
Yeah, I agree completely with Hundo. I think there was a stat, I might be wrong, but they were talking about last night that Georgia hasn't lost the SEC opening game. And I think it's the same thing today. Like, Georgia was my pick to win the SEC, get to the SEC championship. But I think Kirby, he lives for moments like this. Like, he wants the guys to be on the road, big game. He wants prime time. And this is where that defense and, like, you know, Hundo said, running game comes alive. I think the only issue I see with Georgia is in those Austin Peay and Marshall games, there wasn't many long passes from Gunnar Stockton. So I'm curious if that running game, you know, isn't available early on. Can Gunnar Stockton take over and, you know, put points on the board? But other than that, I still trust Kirby's defense to keep it close. So even if Gunnar Stockton is not playing as well, they'll still be right there at the end.
Yeah, I definitely agree with y'all. I think that I had Georgia as well to win this game. I know it's going to be a tough environment to go into Knoxville and beat Tennessee. I think, like I said, there's going to be a lot of electricity in the air for Tennessee to kind of make an upset. But as long as Georgia comes out early, handle business, and not play scared, and, you know, get to the end zone, follow their cues, follow practice plays, I think it should be a good game. I don't think it's going to be nothing like a blowout or anything like that. But I definitely think they'll be able to win that game on the road.
Yeah, and I'm going to be interested to see how they start. Like, yeah. Colin said, like, if Georgia starts off slow and Gunnar has to, you know, put the ball in the air, is he able to do it? So, yeah. Like, hopefully them boys ready to go out the gates and don't get off to.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner. So you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
A slow start, and we can run the plays that we want to run, you know, in the order that we want to run them and stay on schedule.
Okay. Yes, sir. Last game of the night, let's touch on this Notre Dame and Texas A&M game, man. Notre Dame is still ranked 8 in the country, even though they are on 1 at this current time. They face a Texas A&M team who is ranked 16 in the country, who is 2-0. Now, it also is important to note, of course, those two wins, one of which has come against Utah State, another one against UTSA. And so, like Hunter mentioned a minute ago with Tennessee, I mean, those games also matter in regards to who they're playing, right, in their record. So, with that being said, because we know that Notre Dame, on the other hand, that one loss that they did suffer was against Miami, who, and they only lost by 3 points at that. So, coming into tonight's matchup, which will be at home in South Bend, can Notre Dame handle business against Texas A&M, who once again is pretty hot right now with Marcel Reed, who is another young man who has kind of come onto the scene, and he's kind of sneaking up on a lot of people's radars. So, as a runner, as well as a passer. So I think it'll be intriguing to see how he comes in tonight. But tell me, give me your thoughts. Can Texas A&M go into Notre Dame and defeat Notre Dame and upset them at their home?
I wouldn't be surprised if they do. I think in the one game that we saw Notre Dame in, they weren't necessarily able to run the ball against Miami. A young quarterback, I believe, freshman quarterback. So – that's going to be tough. Good thing is they're at home, and I know that Marcus Freeman going to have that defense ready to play at least. Mm-hmm. So, if anything, I think it'll be a low-scoring game. But I wouldn't be surprised if Texas A&M get it done.
Agreed, for sure.
You're muted, brother.
Yeah, I actually got Texas A&M winning the game. I think they kind of remember what happened last year, how Notre Dame came in and beat them. And like even with the Miami game, for you know, CJ Carr played decent, but I wasn't really sold on Notre Dame as a team. I haven't gotten much chance to watch Texas A&M like a full game, but from what I've seen, you know, those guys are, you know, they brought the same guys back. So there's at least consistency in the room. And Mike Elko, he's taken over control of the defense. So I think the defense will be improved. So I think it's going to be close, but I think Texas A&M squeaks it out.
Okay. Yeah. For me personally, man, I think I'm going to go Notre Dame at the crib. I think it'll be a lot closer than what people expect it to be. I think people expect it to be kind of more of a blowout for Notre Dame. But I think that, like I said, with Marcel Reed, I think he's going to show the country something tonight. Or did they play? They play. I see the time again.
They play tonight, 7:30, I believe.
Yeah. So I think he'll be able to show this country something, man. I like I said, he reminds me of what – a little bit better version of what Mr. Brown is doing out in South Florida right now. I think he's one of those dual-threat quarterbacks who can do it all. He gets some pressure, he's going to take off, and he's fast. You know what I'm saying? So, like, he's leading the team in rushing and in pass right now. I mean, obviously, as the quarterback. But he's also leading the team in rushing, too. So, I mean, he's getting after it, right? And so I think he'll be able to kind of put some things together if the play does break down. So I think he'll be able to keep it close on the offensive side of the ball. And then Texas A&M defense is no slouch either. So, I mean, I don't think it's going to be sweet for a freshman quarterback to play against that defense, even at home. So I think it'd be a good game, but I think that like Kyler mentioned a minute ago, I think that Notre Dame can squeak it out at the crib. So, and I know this. Let's touch on this real quick before I do this. We gotta talk about these Clemson Tigers, man. We gotta talk about it. And as a Clemson fan, I can't be biased, but I do want to hear y'all thoughts, man, because Clemson has looked terrible. I ain't gonna hold y'all in two games. We will look terrible. And as a fan, I'm like, what the heck are we doing? Right now, I will say this. That first game against LSU, they came out and they were hooping. They were in a good fight with them boys. Defense came out strong. Offense really couldn't get it going that much, but they did enough to kind of keep it close, right? Now, for me, watching the game, I was just very like, we couldn't get nothing going in the pass game. And that's or the run game against LSU. Now, once again, the LSU defense was very tough. And so, obviously, we wound up losing that game at home. Then last week we had a game against Troy. Now, Troy, I was like, oh, this should be a tune-up, easy 70-3 game. Man, was I wrong. Oh, my gosh. I mean, we came out and we were getting our butts kicked. I mean, we couldn't get nothing right at the crib. It was one play I watched, and he got sacked, and they caught the fumble or caught it like a pick or something. It was like one of those, was an NCAA play. Really was. It was like, oh, I got hit, and the ball gets up in the air. Defensive lineman catches it for a touchdown. I'm like, what the heck are we doing? We're down 16-0 at home to Troy. It really was insane watching that. So with us going into Georgia Tech today, we are 1-1. Georgia Tech is currently 2-0, and they're kind of battle-tested. They faced two decent teams, if I'm not mistaken. I'm pulling up their schedule.
They beat Colorado that first game.
Yeah, they played Colorado, and they played them really close. They still want to lose in that game, if I'm not mistaken. No, they won that game against Colorado. I'm tripping. They won the game against Colorado.
Maybe they smacked Gardner-Webb last week.
Yeah, Gardner-Webb, and that's no comp for them. So, give me your thoughts. A 1-1 Clemson team who has not looked the best, I'll be honest. Can we go into Georgia Tech today? Handle business against Georgia Tech. Give me your thoughts, and I'm going to tell you what I think after this. Now, also keep in mind that this, we'll be minus Antonio Williams, who's been hurt really since the LSU game. He will not be playing today. It was somebody else that it was hurt as well coming into this game also. I think it was one of the linemen. So give me your thoughts with those injuries coming into the game. Can we get the job done in Georgia Tech and having their first loss of the season?
I actually got Georgia Tech. I had Georgia Tech get into the season. I like Georgia Tech's offense. I thought that Cade would take a step up, but – Cade, honestly, he kind of looks like his freshman and sophomore year. I thought he was going to be, you know, a top prospect, but still he has some work to go. Obviously, you said the offensive line. I don't think the offensive line has helped either. But, you know, in the group chat, everybody was hyping up Clemson's defense this year. But Clemson's defense has looked really mid. And so I think that's really the issue, because if you see from the Colorado game, if y'all don't have a good run defense, Haynes King and Brent Key, all they're going to do is run the ball, and they're going to control the time of possession, and then that's going to sputter y'all's offense and ability to score points. And so I think that's really going to be the key, the defensive line. Can y'all make stops, you know, on third down? Can y'all, you know, get to the sideline and keep the offense on the field. I think from Clemson's standpoint, we already know the biggest issue is Garrett Riley. You know, I think that offense could be opened up even more, but there's a lot of screens, there's a lot of draws, and I don't think it's helping Cade to develop as a quarterback. And maybe they don't trust Cade. But we'll see today, because I think this game is the winner of the ACC, in my opinion.
Now, let's move on to my questions later, but I'll save it for a little bit later on. Go ahead, Hundo.
I'm not going to go that far and say that the winner of this game probably going to win the ACC, but it could happen. But I think Haynes King has the ability to, you know, pull a Lenora Sellers last year and, you know, put the team on his back with his running ability to knock off a Clemson. I think Haynes King is underrated for real as a quarterback. If you know NCAA, he's tough on NCAA. So it's going to be a good test, I think, for Clemson. Like y'all talked about with Riley at the OC, but I think that Clemson is going to go as far as K goes. I think somebody had sent something in the group like after the first game, and Dabo was basically saying that K has to be a dude.
Yeah,
like he has to go out there. Like, he's not a freshman. He's not a sophomore. He got to go out there and be a leader and, you know, put that cape on in a sense and carry this team, because Clemson is only going to go as far as K takes them. If he's out there struggling, can't get many passing yards, can't drive the ball down the field, it's going to hurt this team. And like you said, with Williams being out, next man up. Somebody got to step up. We talked about the weapons that they had coming into the season at receiver on the outside. We got to see it. Defense, y'all got some big names over there. Y'all got to do something. So we're going to see. I think this will be a good test, but I think they should be fine versus Georgia Tech today. I think they bounce back and they get it done versus Georgia Tech today.
Yeah, man. And I know, because I was going to go last, because I know I'm a Clemson fan. But I want to talk about this, man. I do think that we bounce back today and get a win against Georgia Tech. I think these boys got to get it together. I think one thing that's plagued us, to Colin's point, is defense, right? But I think also when the offense is on the field and get four and outs every time, your defense is gassed. So it's hard for you to play consistently and be – I mean, them boys can run all they want to try to get in shape. But when your defense got you on the field all game against Troy – in the first half, it's like, nah, we got to make something shake, right? And so I think that also same thing happened against LSU. At some point, the defense gets gassed. I mean, we even look back to last year against Georgia. Defense is gassed on the field the whole time because the offense can't get nothing going. And so I think that's been hard, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, yeah, I think Clemson defense is actually really good. But when you're on the field the whole time, I mean, yeah, you're gonna look kind of lackluster after a while. You know what I'm saying? It's hard to keep boys healthy, for one, and two, in shape when you on the field the whole time. So I think that plays a part into it. But I think that today, even with the quarterback from Georgia Tech, I think that he's a good quarterback. I think he'd be able to make some plays against us. But that I think these boys find a way to win today. Even with the injuries, even with Mr. Williams out, we still got guys. We bought in a freaking a crazy transfer, a wide receiver. So let's put him to work, Mr. Parker. Let's get Adam Randall the ball. I mean, he's 6'2". He's like, you know, he's played former wide receiver. So he should be shifty enough and big enough to not only get the ball out in space, but also run the ball as well. So, I mean, let's get after it, guys. That's my speech to y'all. Get after it. Y'all 12 in the country. I mean, what are we doing here? Let's lock in. Let's be Clemson again. Dabo was talking all this rah-rah, beginning of the year, talking about something, oh, we can win, you know, the whole thing. Show me. Because right now, as an alum, two-time alum, I'm not satisfied with what I'm seeing on this field right now. Y'all will not be getting no support, no dollars out of me. Listen, Ipte, don't call me. Don't ask for no donations. Clemson better not call me for no annual gift until I see some better production on this field. Right? That's how we're going to get all this going. So I'm going to leave that there. And we're going to push on to our arch rival, which is the University of South Carolina, University of Second Choice, USC Junior. All the things that I disrespectfully call them, because I don't respect them. Anyways, nah, that was hate. That was crazy transition. Yeah, that was pure hate. But it's also some hate because South Carolina's 2-0. They 2-0 right now. And so today they face a Vanderbilt team, who a lot of people are actually, to my surprise, selecting Vandy to win this game. So give me y'all thoughts with Lenora Sellers and how he's been playing in USC. They had a first close game against Virginia Tech. They wound up squeaking that out. And then last week they had a game.
They played
South Carolina State. Right, but that was also closer for them because it was, they only wound up winning like 38-10. It was a weird week last week in college football. So with today's game against Vanderbilt, tell me what y'all expect to see from Lenore Sellers, Nick Harbor, and that defense and offense of University of Second Choice.
I like Diego Pavia's game, quarterback for Vanderbilt. Mm-hmm. He's tough, man. He can run the ball. He can throw it around. They don't necessarily have the biggest names over there at Vanderbilt, but they play hard. They got a few upsets last year, and Pavi is a veteran quarterback. I think he can go in and make it tough for South Carolina. Lenore Sellers has to start fast. They have to start fast on the offensive end. They started a little slow last week against South Carolina State. I think South Carolina State actually got, like, the first points of the game, kicking a field goal. So they were in that game a little bit, you know, the first quarter and a half. Yeah. And then South Carolina ended up taking a punt return back for a touchdown, and that just opened up the game. Yeah. But I think South Carolina gets it done against Vanderbilt, but I think it'll definitely be a close game. Good night game. Atmosphere going to be – it's going to be jumping in there in Columbia, for sure.
Yeah, I think that's going to be the difference. Like, the fact that Vandy has to go into Columbia, I just think it's going to be too much. But I agree with Hundo. Like – South Carolina hasn't started off the way I thought, even with the Virginia Tech game. I think that they have to, you know, come out because, you know, they keep it close. Vanderbilt is just not one of those teams you want to hang around with. Mm-hmm. And I actually think this team is just as good as last year in terms of Vanderbilt and, like, what Clark, I forgot the head coach's name, what he's built. It's not the old Vandy like we once knew. So hopefully they can get it done at least by halftime, because if it's like a one possession game going into the fourth quarter, I just don't know with Diego Pavia, but I got USC winning.
Unfortunately, to my dismay, I picked USC Junior to win against Vanderbilt. You can't deny what Nick Harbor and Mr. Lenore Sellers bring to this offense. I think Nick Harbor, once again, he has all-world speed, right? He's top crazy. He's fast. So, I mean, I think combination of that between Nick Sellers running over everybody, he's actually very tough. I'm a quarterback for them. So I think that they'll be able to get that job done against Vandy. And I think it's going to be a blowout, in all honesty. I don't think it's going to be close. I think some people were like, oh, it's going to be a closer game. But I think they come out strong at the crib. They don't play around. Hopefully the weather's much better this week in South Carolina, because I think that played a big factor into everything last week with Clemson and USC. Personal experience, I'm still traumatized by that Columbia weather. But anyways, I think that hopefully the weather's a lot better out in South Carolina this week, which will allow them to start off very strong and create a blowout. It's going to be crazy, I think, what happens to Vandy tonight. Last match I want to talk.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner. So you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
About before we get into my little game of fact or fiction, we got a big 2-0 matchup between Ole Miss and Arkansas. It'll be at Arkansas. Ole Miss is 17 in the country right now. So give me your thoughts on, I haven't really been watching them too much this year, so I don't know too much about these teams, but they're both 2-0. So, I mean, they must be decent. Arkansas has won two games, one against Alabama A&M, obviously blowout, and then Arkansas State. So they haven't really played anybody. This will be their first test of the season. And once again, this will also be an SEC matchup. So Ole Miss, once again, is 2-0, and they beat Kentucky by 7, and they beat Georgia State. Once again, not really a game for them. So this will be their first really big test as well. So with them being SEC opponents, how do you think this game will fare out with both of them being undefeated? Somebody got to take a loss tonight.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how this game going to go, man, because Arkansas got the veteran quarterback in Taylen Green, like 6'5", 6'6", big size. And then Ole Miss with the young quarterback. I think he's listed as a sophomore, but he didn't play last year. As you know, they had Dart. And he hasn't been looking too great so far in the first two games. He's thrown two picks in both of those first two games. So definitely cause for concern. Like I said, they only beat Kentucky by, 7 last week? So I wouldn't be surprised if Arkansas go in there and get it done. But I guess the good thing for Ole Miss is that they're at home. They don't have to go on the road this week. They had to go to Kentucky last week. But we're going to see. It's going to be a good test for both of these teams, man, to really see where these guys are in the SEC.
Yeah, I got Ole Miss winning as well. I haven't watched much of Arkansas this year, but I've seen Ole Miss. Ole Miss seems like they have a decent, competent quarterback, and I just trust Lane Kiffin a little bit more than Sam Pittman right now. So I think Ole Miss gets it done.
Agree with y'all, fellas. I too think that Ole Miss will get to handle business at the crib. Like I said, based upon Arkansas, who they played, this is their first real competition of the season. And going on the road, the Chase River competition of the season and an SEC matchup, I think it'd be hard for them to try to come out, overcome those different factors as they push towards trying to win that first game of the SEC season. So I think they want to take that loss, and Ole Miss will be able to take that victory against them boys. So
if that quarterback turned the ball over, though, hey.
That's true. It all depends on that quarterback playing, how he comes out and plays the game. So, hold on, y'all boys.
I thought I had somebody pull up to the crib or something, boy. Boy, looking out the
window. It's a little like you better get this strap.
Hey, somebody did pull in my driver. Who was that? I don't know that car. But nah, they backed out. People think it's sweet. Anyways, let's keep it pushing. Let's keep it pushing. Hey, y'all stay in the words of Hundo Clark, stay dangerous out here now. Y'all don't be pulling people drive where y'all don't know. I'm gonna say that right now. Anyways, back to the podcast real quick. Let's do a little factor fiction, fellas. I want to do this with y'all real quick. Factor fiction. Clemson is still at 1-1, the best team in the ACC over Florida State and over Miami.
Fiction. Like I said before, Clemson gonna go as far as Kate gonna take them. And right now, I'm not too sold on that, bro. Especially with the injury at receiver, we gotta see who gonna step up, who gonna be the next man up. And the way Miami and Florida State have been playing recently, it's gonna be tough. It's gonna be tough today versus Georgia Tech. So we gonna see, man. I definitely don't think it's sweet. I know I chose Clemson to win the ACC, but I'm a little hesitant right now. So we're going to see. I'm going to say fiction right now.
Yeah, a lot of the same reasons with Hundo. I say fiction. I think the preseason expectations versus reality are two drastically different things, especially with that defense. I do think that, you know, if they can get out of this game, they're, you know, Clemson still has the roster to run the table. But like Hundo said, it's going to depend on the consistency of Miami and Florida State. You know, can they stay at the top and continue to dominate? But I just don't see them right now at 1-1 as the best team, or even second best, honestly.
Okay. Fact or fiction? Ohio State as the number one team in the country will finish off the season as number one in the country in the Big Ten Conference. And to give you a little bit of context, the teams that they will play in their particular conference this year will be Penn State, who is currently number two in the country. They also, of course, will play Michigan at the end of the season as well in Michigan. Will Ohio State, once again, fact or fiction, be the number one team in the country at the end of the season?
I'm going to go fiction. I feel like they're going to slip up somewhere. I'm not too sold on the quarterback play yet. And when he gets tested again, who knows? I don't think he played, you know, spectacular against Texas. I think Texas more so played a little bit bad. So we're going to see. They still got, like you said, Illinois, Penn State at home, and then they got Michigan to wrap up the season. But I wouldn't be surprised if they slip up against Penn State. I think I trust Drew Allar a little bit more than Ohio State's quarterback right now. So I wouldn't be surprised if Drew Allar goes into Ohio State and knocks them off.
Yeah, I'd say fiction as well. John, you talking about like the end of the regular season or even the championship game?
In the regular season, yeah.
Yeah, I would say fiction. I think Penn State and even the Michigan game. Like, I know it sounds crazy, but the fact that it's in Ann Arbor this year, I think it'll still be closer like it was last year. So they got a lot of slip up games. I don't know what they expect from Julian Sand. Like, even though he won versus Arch, they still both did not look as good as I thought. So yeah, I don't think they'll be number one at the end of the year.
Okay.
Fact or fiction? Arch Manning will be able to play his way back into being a top five quarterback in the country by the end of the season. Notable matchups, as I give you some context, he'll play Florida in 2 weeks. He'll play Oklahoma at home in the big, of course, Red River rivalry. He'll also play Georgia in November, and then he'll end off the season with Texas A&M. Will he be able to play his way once again back into being a top five quarterback in the country? Fact or fiction?
I think he has a chance.
So you say fiction?
I don't know, bro. I feel like the opportunity is there for him too, but is he going to do it? I don't know, bro. I feel like the quarterbacks this year have not been, crazy good. I think they're all showing to be in similar type tiers. I think we had high expectations for, Cade, Lagway, Alar, Nussmeier, but it's like maybe those guys are closer than we thought. So, I mean, arguably, I'm going to say fact to answer the question, but I mean, like I said, he has the chance to do it if he puts together a few good games.
Okay. Kyle, what'd you say?
Yeah, I got fact as well. And it's only because, like Hundo said, when you list your top five, everybody has a flaw. And I don't think at the end of the season, there's going to be a clear number one. So that tier is actually kind of closer together. And all he has to do is really win a couple of those games. Like if he goes in and beats Georgia, or even if they make it to the SEC championship, the media is going to hype him up. And I think that their roster, especially with their NIL, they have the players in order to compete. So all he has to do is just be competent and he'll be right there in the top five.
Okay. Well, listen, brothers, that's it for this week's edition of Fact or Fiction. I'll be back again next week for sure with some more. I like the little game with y'all right there getting that opinion. Before we end the podcast, I want to switch over quickly to the NFL. We want to go talk about one specific matchup. I want to talk Colts and Broncos. We got to get into it, fellas. I know y'all, these are y'all boy teams. Hundo is a Broncos fan. Colin is a Colts fan. I previewed it once again on the previous pod, but y'all were not here. So I got to get y'all opinion. Now, with tomorrow's game being a big game for both teams, I think, I said it in the podcast, I think tomorrow's game will be very telling for both teams. Daniel Jones had a big week one last week, and Bo Nix did not look the best. So, with those things being said, will the Denver Broncos be able to go into Indianapolis tomorrow and handle business against Daniel Jones and the Indianapolis Colts? Hundo, let's start with you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. like you said, Bo Nix didn't play the best last week, but that defense did. That defense was out there balling. Pressure all day on Cam Ward. Daniel Jones going to be out there running for his life. Them boys not healthy. They got cornerbacks that's hurt. Cortland Sutton about to have a big day. J.K. Dobbins, big day.
Okay.
Denver defense, great day.
Okay. Yeah. What are they going to do? Tell me this, Hunter. What are they going to do to Daniel Jones? How are they going to make him look tomorrow? Is he going to look, back to his old Daniel Jones ways? Or will he be able to put up the numbers he did last week?
He's definitely not putting up those numbers from last week. I guarantee you that. Okay. I guarantee that.
Okay. Say less. So he's guaranteed
pressure. He about to have pressure in his face all day. Okay. Benito, Jonathan Cooper, Zach Allen, all of them.
Yeah. So Denver going to be 2-0 tomorrow. Country.
Let's ride. Word to Russ.
Word to Russ, huh? Okay, big 4-5 matchup. Colin, what say ye in response?
Everything Hundo said was cute. But Colts going 2-0. I'm going to tell you right now. Listen, all we have to do is stop the running game. We forced Bo Nix to throw the ball. Even though we're down two corners, I still trust our defense. Denver actually did not look the best versus Tennessee. And I don't know if that's going to change within a week. Hopefully it does. But it's in Lucas Oil. I think the momentum still goes. And all we have to do is keep it close. Like, because our two corners are out, that's why I don't think it's going to be, you know, anything more than two touchdowns. But yeah, it's going to be close. And JT has to have the game of his life.
JT has to have the game of his life. Boy, y'all are cooked.
Yeah, it's gonna happen. It's okay. We'll revisit this next week.
That boy ain't say nothing about Daniel Jones. Them boys cook.
No.
Them boys cook.
Listen.
Yeah, listen, y'all cook, bro.
I don't want to hear
Broncos, bro. Stop it.
I don't want to hear, oh, I got freelance and stuff to do next week. No, let's get on the phone. Let's talk.
Hey, yo. All I know is you better be on here too. You better be on here too. When that L come, don't be hiding.
Yes, sir. This is all I like to see right here. This is all I like to see right here.
Host Nation. Say no. Yeah.
The boy's going to be sitting down. Brown paper bag. Yeah. We want hey, AR.
Hey, yo. That is
no, hilarious. I'll never say that. Never say
that. Oh, man. Fellas, anything else you want to touch on before we end out the podcast today, man?
Who y'all got in that Chiefs Eagles matchup?
I got Philly.
Yeah, give me the Eagles too.
I think the Chiefs start going too.
I got Devontae Smith on my fantasy team. I'm gonna need him to do something.
Not before AJ Brown. Oh my god.
I'm gonna need him to do something. Hey, Jalen Hurts, man, throw that ball, man.
Please.
I don't know what y'all was doing last week, but throw that ball.
AJ Brown the ball. Oh my gosh.
Same thing with the Dolphins. Yeah. Tua, get right. Please. Try to. Something. Please.
Man. Yeah. I think it's gonna be a good matchup, but I got Philly in that game for sure. Yeah, man. Listen, here at the Winshot Podcast, once again, we appreciate y'all tapping in and tuning in to all that we continue to talk about and do. Continue to follow us on Substack. Colin and Hundo are writing crazy articles. Colin will be biasedly talking about UNC. So please follow his Substack. Hundo will be talking about W and his bias towards certain players as well. So follow his Substack because he's talking about WNBA also.
Hey, yo. Why you have to say it like that?
Hey. Listen, we have to be honest on this podcast. We are biased towards certain teams. We are. All of us are. All of us are biased towards certain teams, and that's okay. That's okay. That's what makes us different hosts, and that's what makes us great as a unit. So listen, continue to support us. We appreciate all the love, the reposts on Instagram, TikTok, various platforms that we're on. We will continue to put out content. Like I told y'all, we're back the other day. We're back producing content. It's football season. The W season's almost over, so me and Hunter will be getting into some playoff talk here really soon. And, of course, we just went through a whole hour of college football. So it's nothing off limits. It's nothing off topic, and nobody's safe. So please, everybody, be on your A game because we will talk about you if you're not. I promise you. So we appreciate y'all here at the One Shot Podcast, and we'll see y'all at the next appointed time. Peace.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.